Welcome back. Season 2, episode 16, and there's no fake out this time. This episode is for real, and it is also for real, one of the best that we've ever put together. Again, these episodes, they tend to head in a single direction. As the season has rolled along here, the memes and things section continues to grow, and the other sections continue to shrink. And that's by design, because memes and things are what get the people going, get them revved up, get them juiced up, and that's what we want for you. Before the episode starts, obviously, do all the things that appease the master algorithm. Hit the thumbs up. Subscribe if you haven't already. We're really close to 1,000 subscribers, and I'm going to have a fake custom YouTube play button made, and I'm going to put it right there when we hit 1,000 subscribers. So send this to your friends. Make sure subscribe from multiple accounts if you want, and then of course do the usual commenting good stuff. Comment again, reply to both of those comments, and then tag your friend in the comment, say something mean about them, insult them, provoke them, whatever it is, so that they can join in on the comment fest as well. Now, as we dive into episode 16, it's a lot more of the crazy stuff, as I mentioned, but that's okay. It's what we want. It's what we're here for. And today, we kind of talked about this in our teaser episode, but in case you missed that, or if you've forgotten, I know it has been a week off as we were on our retreat. If you didn't make it to the retreat, sounds like your problem. Maybe make it to the next one. Got one coming for you real soon before the end of the year, so definitely sign up for that one. But what we got is Jimmy has sent me, thank the Lord for Jimmy. She really fueled this episode. She really got us moving along here. Women's What I Eat in a Day. We're going to talk about trauma releasing massage therapy. Interesting. The recovery space is a joke. I won't say always has been, but for the past 2 or 3 years, the recovery space and the physical therapy space on Instagram has really just descended into madness. I feel very bad for the Mike Taylors and Katie Dabrowskis of the world, because it's just not a good scene to be in. We're actually going to dive in this week on Ozempic, the newest weight loss smoothie, very similar to, spoiler alert, very similar to Beyonce's Master Cleanse. If you've never seen that, interesting name. Not sure why we would call it the Master Cleanse in the racially charged environment that we've got today, but nonetheless, that's the name that she went for it. If you don't remember what that was, or you weren't privy to that at the time, I encourage you to look up what that was. Beyonce's Master Cleanse. A little bit of cayenne. I think it was cayenne, lemonade, and honey. And you just drink that like 3 times a day for weight loss. Yeah, that ought to do it. This is very similar. A follow-up to the Cosmic Brownie Pizza, other sick, disgusting recipes that you weirdos who are food obsessed enjoy on Instagram. What happened to just eating normal food? We'll also talk about an upcoming Instagram post that I'm going to make, a meme of the spectrum of palatability and how that factors into your fat loss results. We're going to talk about Chris Bumstead's training program, why that won't work for you. And of course, my favorite pet, person with extraordinary talents in the physical fitness space, El Campeón, is back. Today's sponsor is going to be, yet again, revisiting it from our psych out, our fake out episode. It's going to be Gifted Academics. So if you are in the health, coaching, fitness, training space, you're a personal trainer who wants to expand your services, you're a strength coach who wants to diversify your offerings, or you're just someone looking to gain more knowledge in the space of sports nutrition, the CISSN is going to be your industry-leading nutrition-focused or sports nutrition-focused supplement-focused certification that you want to pursue. We have an exclusive CISSN bundle that saves you $150 on the exam itself, and we're even throwing in a discounted rate on our self-led prep. You can get the self-led prep for $150, the exam itself for $350. The bundle is $500 total. Normal value on that would be $700. So you're saving yourself $200. You can then use that $200 to sign up with a gifted coach to get the best results of your life. Jake, that's a 2-in-1 plug. Maybe you edit something nice in here to congratulate me on doing such a good job with our ad roll. I'm not the best ad read guy. I can say stuff. I have words. I can make it all come out of my mouth. But when it comes to ad read, I wouldn't say that I'm the best in the world. I have other things that I'm the best in the world at. We already talked about it, but rate and review. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you're on Spotify, whatever, just rate it 5 stars, thumbs up, whatever the rating system is. Give us a review. Tell us you love us, because we consistently get spammed by emails. They're like, would you like to have more 5-star reviews on your podcast? I can hire 5,000 Russian bots to review. I don't want Russian bot comments. I want real comments from the people, and that's you. So leave a comment. Really helps us out with the algorithm. Gets this out to more people. Follow us at GiftedHQ and, of course, our academics page at Gifted_academics. If you need any coaching, gifted-hq.com is the place that you want to be. Right now, we do have a sale going on all Gifted Athlete Established 2018. This is a double XL, a little chunky boy tall tee, if you will. If you want a firmer fitting, a nice tight squeeze, squishy on your body as well. These do run true to size, so I'm just sized up today because I'm feeling extra large, extra beefed out, and I wanted to show that to you, the viewer, or on the audio. You can just picture me. I'm beefed up, punishing the sleeves. Absolute monstrosity of a human being coming at you. Now, we can actually get into the show itself. So, Jake, hit that graphic, play the music.
Memes and Things.
It is time for Memes and Things. First, we have to have a repeat visitor. He's the one you love. I got so many comments, so many messages from people that, like, I now follow El Campeon and his teachings, his ways. I adhere to those on a daily basis, and it's really improved my life for the better. So another one, just because I screenshot them all the time and the algorithm's like, oh, Ryan likes El Campeon. Let's show him some more of that stuff. So my algorithm continues to show me this fellow. Thank you. Love it. And he has two commandments that we know of so far. So far, we know that El Campeon believes wholeheartedly in the benefit of multiple belts. The more belts you wear, the better it is. So commandment one. From El Campeon, thou shalt wear as many belts and knee wraps as you like. More is always better. But today we come with commandment number two, and it is my goal over the course of season two to give you the 10 commandments of El Campeon. You'll have to come back to future episodes to see more of his messages, more of his teachings, so that you can get the most out of that. But commandment two is injuring yourself. I love this one. I just want to take a step back, unironically, not being sarcastic like usual. I actually love this. This is the type of crazy, insane stuff that people are scared to say on social media now, because it's like, oh, it goes out to so many people, and you know, you have to be careful of your messaging. El Campeon doesn't care about its messaging, doesn't give a shit, doesn't care at all. It doesn't matter to him. So commandment two. Injuring yourself in training is not something to avoid, but it is instead something you must do to make progress. Jake, this is our first video. It is titled, No Pain, No Gains, Champions Only, coming soon.
He says this about getting hurt in the gym.
No, yo para mí lo pesado, campeón. Es que lo pesado te rompe el músculo, te lo desgarra para que... Con esto, con un disco, yo nunca obtuve nada. Y todavía pues no tengo nada, pero Arnold dice y Ronnie Coleman dicen, tienes que hacer pesado y las repeticiones que puedas, ¿sí me entiendes? Yo ya lo he comprobado. El que no se lastima no avanza, ¿sí me entiendes? Porque el que se lastima se está demostrando qué tanto potencial tiene. En mi cintura, en mi hombro, yo me lo he desgarrado.
He then lifts some of the heaviest dumbbells easily.
Alrighty, howdy gang, it's Jake the editor. You're hearing my voice now because there's some copyrighted music going on in the background. So I'm gonna do the music with my mouth. Thank you.
He's talking about, you know, getting hurt in the gym. For me, the heavy champion, the heavy, it breaks you down. It breaks the muscle. It tears you apart. With one plate, I never got anything and still have nothing. But I've heard Arnold say, and Ronnie Coleman say, notorious injured people, You have to do the heaviest, most reps. You understand me? I have checked it. He who does not get hurt does not advance, because the one who is getting hurt is proving how much potential he has. My belt, my shoulder, I have torn it. He then lifts some of the heaviest dumbbells easily. Zoom in. The heaviest dumbbells easily. Jake, pause the video when you can see the dumbbell rack. Our friend here, and again, you guys know I love this guy. I want to be his biggest fan, but I also need to be 100% honest with him and 100% real with him. That's what you do with your friends. You're real with your friends. Whoever is, it's not his fault. It's whoever's commentating the video, it's their fault. So it's whoever is his video editor has done him dirty here. They said he grabbed the heaviest dumbbells, but he did not, in fact, grab the heaviest dumbbells. You can very clearly in the frame see 80s, 90s, and even all the way up to 120-pound dumbbells. He has the 70-pound dumbbells, which are not the heaviest, but they are quite heavy. I think that's what his commentator meant, was that he's going to grab some very heavy dumbbells, dumbbells that would be the heaviest that maybe anyone in the world can lift for this exercise. So I would say that what his commentator meant and what El Campeón is going for here is the world record. So he kicks the dumbbells back into place, gets the 70s to his chest, then presses them in what seems to be the hardest rep ever that he's ever done in his entire life. The rep speed is probably negative velocity. It's quite a struggle for him to press them. You're like, okay, he's going to do a set of presses. And then the man turns his arms, and with some fancy video editing, he flies them. And he flies them with relative ease. The editing is great. He still looks like the guy from Lazy Town. If anyone has forgot, Jake, you can throw that guy on the screen. Pit stains are absolutely legendary. Gets a solid set of five. So a solid set of five on dumbbell flies. Does he get injured in this set? You don't know. You can't tell for sure. Maybe he was going to go heavier and injure himself on the next set. Because, again, Jake put it on the screen, Commandment 2 from El Campeón, getting injured in training is not something to avoid, and it is actually something to actively pursue, because it is the only way, the only metric of long-term success, and that came from directly from Arnold and Ronnie Coleman, some of the best bodybuilders, probably the two best bodybuilders of all time, who definitely said that and 100% would have no issue with El Campeón saying that they told him to get injured and that's why he's doing it. You guys know I'll never, ever in my entire life pass up a visit from El Campeón on the podcast. Always great to have him on here. Great to establish commandment number two. So we now have two commandments. Now, don't think that you have to wait until you have all 10 commandments from him to start implementing those in your daily life. I can assure you they're completely random and they don't integrate with each other at all whatsoever. So you can start implementing these teachings immediately and start getting significantly better results. Now, Jake put a disclaimer down at the bottom, sarcasm, don't get injured in training. Getting injured in training is very stupid. Do not try to injure yourself in training. Lift a weight that's reasonable for you. If by chance you do get injured because hashtag winning hurts, you should reference, you should schedule a consult with Mr. Mike Taylor, Dr. Mike Taylor himself, if you happen to get injured in training. Dr. Mike Taylor and El Campeón are not friends. They do not know each other. They do not F with each other. They have very conflicting messages. But nonetheless, there are your two commandments. Let's get into our next section of memes and things here. Our next section is something that I'm going to call women who like to play it fast and loose with what comes out of their caboose. Okay, so the preface on this, the pretext. Jimmy, my lovely wife, the mother of my beautiful Peepo Man son, Jimmy sends me a lot of content from like the women's fitness side. My Instagram is obviously very skewed and it knows that I'm a man. So it sends me a lot of like men focused, you know, thirst traps and men lifting heavy weights, a lot of bodybuilding updates, plenty of CrossFit stuff. I don't get the women's health side of the fitness space. And that's fine and dandy because I have Jimmy to deliver that to me. She sends all of this stuff to me, keeps me updated. Love it. Thank you. She's the best. Now, what she has been sending me lately has been what I eat in a day from the women's health side. And it's kind of crazy, some of the daily diets of these women and the digestive issues that I personally would have. And you guys would, I would assume that you guys would have the same issues with these diets. They're like largely liquid based. They are massive, massive amounts of fiber. We're talking 50, 60 grams of fiber in a diet that maybe has 1600 to 2000 calories. Remember, the recommendation is 14 to 16 grams per 1000 calories in the diet. So this is 3, 4, 5x the normal amount of fiber that is recommended. These women have probably been eating like this for a while, or they slowly worked their way into these dietary strategies. So they didn't just immediately hit their body with 60 grams of fiber. Most women that I work with, when they come to me, they're largely eating very small amounts of food. The small amounts of food that they're eating are largely processed, easy to eat, grab and go type of stuff. So their fiber intake is sometimes as low as a couple grams of fiber per day. If you go from 3 grams of fiber a day and you 20x that to 60 grams of fiber a day, the bowel movements that you have will be close to religious experiences. They will be gripping the side of the toilet, praying for relief, praying to whatever God you believe in to make it stop. So I definitely don't recommend jumping into these diets right away. We'll talk about some pros and some cons. The first one comes with Eat with Bonnie. And you can read through the comments on these as well. They're really stupid comments from like people. It's like, oh, I would lose my period if I ate like this. You know, perfect enough or crazy. Lunch is stupid. I don't intend this in a rude way. Extravagant lunch at the workplace. Plenty of haters in the comments. None of them, not even a single one of them says, if I ate this, I'd shit my pants. Maybe I'll comment. All right. So what I eat in a day. Starts off with some chia pudding with a blackberry raspberry compote, it looks like, on top. Some blackberries, some blueberries, some strawberries, some raspberries, and what looks like some macadamia nuts on top as well. So if you don't know about the nutrition profile of chia pudding, or you've never really heard of chia pudding, chia seeds, soak them in almond milk overnight. It's similar to overnight oats. And the chia expands and absorbs some of the liquid, and you get kind of like a pudding-based substance or a pudding-esque substance. You can sweeten it, you know, stevia, coconut milk, sponge, whatever, vanilla, cinnamon, all that stuff. So you can season it up and season it up, flavor it up however you would like. Why is it called seasoning when it's savory and flavoring when it's sweet? Maybe culinary expert can come in here and clue me in on that. But you can flavor it however you want. But for a serving this size, and it's kind of hard to tell because it's hard to see exactly what the serving size is, but I would estimate that this meal right here has no less than 20 grams of fiber, 15 of that coming from the chia seed pudding. Chia pudding, for about a cup of it, it's going to have roughly 20 to 25 grams depending on how you make it. But it's quite a bit. So I would estimate that this is, you know, 3/4 of a cup, maybe a cup. I could be wrong. This meal could be as high as 30 grams of fiber. Starting at 9 a.m. with 30 grams of fiber. Get ready. 9:30 a.m. she has her coffee, and then she has another iced matcha. So again, very little solid foods yet so far. Iced coffee, matcha, ton of, you know, I would assume coconut milk, almond milk. Not real milk, so protein's going to be extremely low there. Very good. All right. 1:30 p.m. is lunch plate. Avocado bread. Guys, don't make fun of me. Avocado toast and an entire plate of veggies. So we got some tomatoes. Looks like some zucchini, maybe some mini cucumbers there, and like a kimchi slaw. Again, depending on the bread here, this is probably at least another 20 grams of fiber right there. Some kimchi on top, 3 p.m. sheets of plum. That's like 3 or 4 grams. 6 p.m. coconut tofu curry. Again, very limited in protein here. We do have some tofu, not super high in protein. We're probably sitting at somewhere around 40 to 50 grams of protein total for the day. We probably also got 40 to 50 grams of fiber for the day as well. Kind of just depends how much of that curry she's going to eat. And that's it. That's the end of the day. So we're looking at, you know, a diet that's going to be extremely rich in vitamins, in minerals, in phytonutrients, in things that promote, you know, health. But they're lower priority items than something like getting in enough protein and not nuking your digestion with 1 gram of fiber per 1 gram of protein in the diet. You know, this is what I call the skinny girl diet. This girl's going to eat this and she's going to stay skinny for the rest of her life, more than likely. More than likely. It's still a health-promoting diet for someone out of the fitness space, but this is not a diet that supports someone who has high training demand. So if you're training hard, trying to build muscle, all that good stuff, this diet will drastically underserve you from a protein delivery standpoint, probably from an energy content standpoint, and will absolutely destroy your gut because it's going to blast you through the plumbing in your house with fiber. Next one up comes from Angela Rummins. She even included the macros for all of the meals as well here. So you can kind of just go meal by meal here and see that she eats a grand total of, let's just tally it up, 10 grams of protein in breakfast, 6 grams of protein in her matcha latte. That brings us to 16 grams of protein, 18 grams with her lunch. That brings us to 34. 1 gram in her snack brings us to 35. And last but not least is her dinner that has 20. So 55 grams of protein. This one, unlike our last, is seriously under delivering on calories as well. So let's go through it. You can read the comments if you want. What I eat in a day to keep a flat tummy. God, fucking hate flat tummy. The combination of the words flat and tummy used in the fitness space, terrible. Hate it. All right. Breakfast is her banana pancakes. Lunch is this massive sushi bowl salad thingy. Edamame. Snack? What was that? Oh, I missed the snack. It's moving too fast for me. The snack was mango sticky rice. Dinner was kimchi fried rice. And then that's it for the day. All right. So here's the thing. Freeze on the opening frame, Jake, or you can use one of her other photos as well. I'm not going to hate on Angela's physique. I think that girl definitely has some muscle. She's definitely built. I can't tell from the picture what she weighs, but she appears to have a good amount of muscle mass on her frame. 360 calories for breakfast, 490 for lunch. We have to have that matcha latte in there as well. Brings us to about 980. Snack brings us to 1070. Dinner brings us to 1510 calories. So not an insanely low amount of calories, but for someone who has some muscle mass here, this is definitely on the lower end for calorie intake, significantly higher again on the fiber intake. So a lot of women are going to look at this and look at these recipes and say, all right, this is a woman who is in shape. You know, she's got a flat tummy. I want a flat tummy. I don't want to have an inflamed gut. I don't want to have fat on my stomach. I'm going to follow this diet, and they're going to survive it for 5 days of horrible either constipation or absolute booty blowouts. There will be no in between here. And they're going to give up on it because it's extremely low calorie. It doesn't fit their needs. It's way too low on protein to support any amount of resistance training. It's largely just a high carbohydrate, moderate fat, low protein diet that has underserved the general population for, decades. At the root of the obesity epidemic is that people are not resistance training. They're not moving their bodies around enough, and they basically have zero muscle mass because they're eating no protein. Even if they are resistance training, they don't have the protein necessary to build muscle and sustain an elevated metabolic rate for any period of time. So again, I have no doubt that these recipes and this day of eating allows Angela to maintain a flat tummy. I also have no doubt that this diet is probably rooted in some degree of orthorexia that she is suffering from. Again, not hating on the nutrient content, definitely wise health-promoting foods here. Well, if we just look at the food items, it's just the amount of food here is quite small. Protein intake is off. Fiber is way too high. It's not going to support individuals who actually want to improve their body composition. But I don't really think Angela cares. She's trying to make pretty cute recipes for Instagram. That's fine. But if you're hashtagging, you know, fitness, and you're hashtagging healthy recipes, and you're hashtagging what I eat in a day, and, you know, pushing that towards the nutrition crowd, the nutrition information seeking crowd, I'm going to come for you, and you have failed. All right, we finish with the last one and absolutely the worst one from Carolyn Diesler. Carolyn Diesler, what I eat in a day to reset my gut. Day one of our new 7-day de-bloat reset. Doesn't get much stupider than that, right, guys? Let's jump into it. Let's see what she eats in the day. Resetting your gut isn't a real thing, so as far as I know. So maybe she's discovered something that none of us know. And she's about to drop some knowledge. She's either going to drop some next level big brain shit on us, or it's going to be fucking nonsense. Where do you think it's going to exist on that spectrum, guys? Read the end of the caption. You can also get the ebook for only 10. What the fuck is that? Euros? 10 euros. 10 pounds? I don't know. 10 something. If it's $10, it's 10 euros, it's 10 pounds. It's cheap. I don't think she's going to drop anything too revolutionary on us. All right. Here's the thing. Very lean. She's got a very lean physique. Not a lot of muscle mass, but a very lean physique. We existing on a spectrum of, you know, health. She's probably on the underweight side of things, which exists with its own health issues. But with people like this, with folks like this, she's hashtagging breastfeeding mom, breastfeeding mama. This could be someone who's recovering from an eating disorder previous in life. So I don't like to hate on anyone on any side of the spectrum. I purely want to look at the information that's being delivered and critique that. Critiquing the information, not the individual. All right, let's see what she eats in a day to reset her gut. 7 a.m., she drinks her de-bloat water. What the fuck? Guys, what are we talking about? What are we even saying anymore? The fitness space has become, especially nutrition side, and especially the stuff targeted at women, has just become this race to the bottom of utter stupidity. Insane and utter stupidity. 7 a.m., de-bloat water. AKA fucking ice water with a lemon and a lime in it. What? How does that de-bloat water? I'm just gonna, I'll yell and I'll get mad if I don't hit play and keep it going. 8 a.m., the biggest fucking thing of celery juice that you've ever seen. I've never had celery juice. For anyone who has, please either DM me or put it in the comments. What does celery juice even taste like? Water? Grass water? I don't know. Looks horrible. Looks disgusting. All right. We have yet to have any solid foods. We've been awake for 2 hours, 3 hours now, I think. We have yet to have any solid foods. 9 a.m. is a digest shot. What is in the digest shot? You don't get to know. You have to get the ebook for 10 euros using the code DBLOAT to find out what's in the digest. 10 a.m. green smoothie. Again, we've been awake for 4 hours. We have yet to have any solid foods. 10:30 a.m. papaya. The entire thing? Half? Some pieces? Just the seeds? Who knows? Holy mother of God, we are eating solid foods. 12:30 p.m., we're having spinach pancakes. Look at this. I understand that part of this is the way that it's shot. Look at the size of the fork compared to the pancakes. These are, and like the nuts that are on top. Number one, spinach pancakes. That sounds disgusting. Number two, these are the smallest pancakes ever. And these are your first solid foods of the day. That's okay. It's not even the way that it's shot. They're just tiny. They're the tiniest thing ever. The baby is one biting these spinach pancakes. All right, 4 p.m. We're just sitting down for some dates. Jimmy said it right. Dates, I don't hate the taste of dates. I think they taste okay. But they really do have a consistency of like wet, congealed hair. All right, 6 p.m. We are having a gut reset bowl. That looks like, oh man, what's in that? Looks like potatoes, maybe broccoli, some kale, and like a spinach celery smoothie dumped on top. That looks like Grinch diarrhea. That is Grinch diarrhea. Okay. Not sure what the nutritional value of that is. 7:30 p.m. We're back on our digest tea. And that's it for the day. So we had two pieces of solid food. Oh, no. We had the fruits, too. We had two pieces of solid fruit, solid food. I don't even know if we can count the digest bowl as solid because it was just soggy after you dumped your juice on it. And again, same thing. It's super high fiber, super low calorie, super low protein. 100% will make you very skinny. 100% will support zero muscle mass gain, won't support your training, won't support recovery, won't do any of that. If your only goal is to see a smaller number on the scale, it won't be because you reset your gut with this diet. It will be because you've undereaten on calories by a drastic amount for 7 days. And then when you return to your normal dietary habits, voila, all of your progress has disappeared. Your weight shoots up, often higher than it was when you started. This is not going to reset your gut. This is a very gross way to eat. Stop glamorizing orthorexia. Okay. Top comment. Kind of nailed it. You've been open about your ED before, and you're clearly in the depths of it. Again, yeah, you're completely in denial and promoting disordered behaviors. Okay. Another orthorexia nervosa account. All right. These comments are brutal. These comments are brutal. Orthorexia is a serious consideration, serious complication that people have around food. This woman is obviously very skinny. She's obviously opened up about her eating disorder before. It's interesting to go this route with your marketing, resetting your gut, drastically under eating, all of that, and promoting that. And, you know, these are very, very popular posts. 6,000 likes. This person has quite a few followers. She's a mom. If you are a coach, you've ever worked with someone who has orthorexia or an eating disorder, you know it's not easy. If you're someone who's watching this and you've struggled with an eating disorder before and you're currently still struggling with it, or you made it through, you made it out to the other side, you're in recovery from that, you know how hard that actually is. So to sit here or to comment on this and dump on this girl for suffering from this condition is low. Again, eating disorder aside, orthorexia aside, the individual aside, this is just bad information. Point blank, period, bad information, but it is gobbled up like a digest shot at 9 a.m. by the women's fitness space. Don't love to see it. And our next post is what I assume these individuals train like, from GoGlow. GoGlow has a very poor understanding of how muscular hypertrophy works. Let's read the caption. To bulk, which means muscle hypertrophy. Good words. Nice words. You have to constantly elevate time under tension using increasing weight and tempo. Tempo will increase time under tension. Weight on the bar will not increase time under tension. Oftentimes, increasing weight on the bar, increasing the weight that you are lifting, will result in less reps being performed, thus less time under tension. But you tried and you got it half right. And if we round 50% up, it's basically a 100. At Swan, I don't know what Swan is, probably her like app or something. At Swan, we focus on a high rep range using low loads. Do you know what this builds? This builds strength. No, it doesn't. And shape without developing hypertrophy. No, wrong again. Or large muscles. Okay, we've gone from muscle hypertrophy, meaning just building muscle at all, to those muscles now have to be large. Shares all our food tips on her app. I'm sure those are absolute bangers, and you can try it for your first 2 weeks free. When the podcast hits 10,000 subscribers, I'll take advantage of this. I'll do 2 weeks of Swan by Carolina for free. Jake, make sure I don't forget that. All right? If the podcast blows up, we hit 10K, I'm doing 2 weeks, not doing CrossFit, not doing bodybuilding, not doing weightlifting anymore. 2 weeks, Swan by Carolina. That is a signed, sealed, and delivered promise. So get to subscribing, folks. But this is kind of the training advice that you get from these folks as well. And it's, you know, part of the cesspool of women's fitness. Men who are watching this, just know that we in the fitness space have it quite easy. We've been getting reasonably good advice from when we started training. Maybe some El Campeon-esque, gotta lift heavy, gotta break your body in half to actually grow advice along the way. But for the most part, we've gotten decent advice. Women, I'm terribly sorry for what you're exposed to on a weekly and monthly basis, because it's absolutely garbage. All right, blowing through these next ones a little bit quicker as I thought I would. I got bogged down in the what I eat in a day fiber booty blowout section. You know me, I love talking about that stuff. Let's get into what is a trauma releasing. Ever wondered what releasing trauma from the body looks like? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it looks like talking to a therapist. I'm pretty sure it's not massage therapy. Jake, let the video run. We got an individual who is pulling a fake string through someone, casting some spells, little ass up, face down, and then some convulsions. All right, the woman who is administering this, I wouldn't even call it a massage because she doesn't even touch the individual. They just had a nice conversation of like, all right, you're going to put your butt up and then you're going to put your face down and then you're going to shake. And it's like very close to like, you know, planned sexual relations that, all right, put your ass up. All right, flip over. All right, do it this way. Do it that way. Now shake a bunch and scream and shit like that. Basically what this is. Let's read the caption here. We forgot how to do this as humans. Tell me more. When a deer is chased by a lion, it may freeze to survive. I don't think that there are a lot of deer being chased by lions. I think you mean antelope. That's more of like the safari vibe, but okay, I'm going to let it pass. Afterwards, it needs to shake the defense mechanism or trauma off. Us humans, however, don't always do this. Instead, we shove it down. Instead of letting our body's intelligence process the trauma. My client traveled over 3 hours to see me. I'm sorry to hear that for your client. Despite doing tons of mindset work, he was unable to process his childhood trauma. Body's like a fingerprint, holds all this. If we didn't learn how to naturally process in a safe environment, we can hold on to these for months or years. Later manifest as anxiety, fear, and chronic illness, aka our body's way of screaming for help. Not terribly wrong there, but pretty bad. Once you remove these layers, your nervous system rewires, nope, and unwanted thoughts and behaviors end. Also, no, you connect back with your true essence. That doesn't mean anything. Your natural state of joy, peace, confidence, and calm. My calendar is open for new clients. Link in bio. 5,000 likes. Comments are disabled. Why do you guys think the comments are disabled? Do you think that maybe this woman got quite a few comments about, oh, I don't know, the fact that trauma is best released and best handled via therapy from a licensed professional and not some massage lady who's not even touching this dude? That's probably why. So, and you, I think Goob talked about this, talked about some like tantra massage trauma releasing. You'll see a lot of this stuff. And you can scroll down on this woman. On this woman's page, she does a lot of spinal energetic stuff, which is actually what Goob was talking about. Premise being that, you know, a lot of our trauma and is repressed and it's stored in our nervous system, and the central nervous system originates in the spine. And if we can manipulate the spine, then we can, you know, release those traumas and start to deal with those. No, wrong. All of it is wrong. This is pure abuse of power, pure abuse of a position of authority, taking advantage of people who are often desperate because they are dealing with anxiety and depression and trauma from previous events that have happened to them. Maybe they've tried therapy in the past and it hasn't worked for them. Maybe they don't want to try medication because, you know, they're scared of the side effects, perfectly reasonable. So they find a person like this online and they bury hundreds of dollars in it, and it becomes a huge waste of time. This is someone who I like to believe this person isn't like a complete idiot and they're just taking advantage of people and they don't really care about that. They're unethical rather than unintelligent. But the possibility exists that this woman is also stupid and she believes this stuff. It's a lot easier to sell stupid stuff when you are in fact stupid yourself. So that could be what it is. All of this is garbage. When you see stuff like this on Instagram, I encourage you to report it and comment on it, be mean to the person, DM them terrible things. You know what to do. All right, moving right along, talking about scams in the industry, stupid stuff in the industry. Ozempic. This one came across my timeline. And I actually want to applaud today's show, for a pretty solid write-up here. I know, right? It's pretty tough. It's tough for them to get it right, but they actually do nail it here. I want to give credit to Natalie Rizzo, the author, and then I believe they also interviewed a registered dietitian in here, or the author herself is a dietitian. One of those. Either way, it's a good write-up here. So Ozempic, nutrition trend hitting TikTok. As always, don't ever get your fitness advice, training advice, nutrition advice from TikTok. If you do, you're not choosing a smart way to receive information. Research studies are great. Research reviews are great. Trusted professionals on social media can be great, but can also be very easily misled. Like, look at like Huberman. I would recommend, obviously, working with a gifted HQ coach. That's how you get the best information. Absolutely never have we ever said anything that was wrong or changed our mind on anything, because we've always been right, and that's great. But Ozempic came from TikTok. It is a clever name. It's a clever name. It's based on popular drug Ozempic, probably confusing some people, thinking that this is like a natural alternative. It works in the same way. It functions in the body to deliver similar results. It's not, and it doesn't. And it's funny, the producers, so Novo Nordisk, who owns the patent on Ozempic, I believe it's Novo Nordisk, even put, like, it's crazy the effect that TikTok and virality on TikTok have on like modern culture. But Novo Nordisk even came out and released a statement that they are not, this is insane to say, affiliated with this whatsoever. So there is no affiliation with the medication, but it can help you lose 40 pounds in 2 months. 20 pounds a month, 5 pounds a week. 5 pounds a week of weight loss for 2 months straight is a bananas, a bonkers amount of weight to lose. I don't even think that Ozempic, the real shit, can help you lose that much weight. So it's a clever name, for sure. Good marketing around it. Past that, it is horrible. It is a half cup of oats. This is so funny. It's like fucked up shitty oatmeal, basically. Half cup of oats, 1 cup of water, dash of cinnamon, squeeze of lime juice. Why does it always have to have the lime juice in it? What is the... Someone needs to aware me of what the magic behind citrus fruits are. Like, why in every... go to the Master Cleanse. We talked about the beginning of the... Go to Beyonce's Master Cleanse. Had to be lemonade. Why? Why is it always with the lemons and the limes? Gwyneth Paltrow's stupid shit that she talks about. Oh, I follow this alkaline diet and I start every morning with, water with a lemon squeezed in it. Say that again, Gwyneth, but say it very slow. Why is it always the lime? So it's got the lime juice in there as well. No mention of the actual quantity of lime juice, just a squeeze. So again, just kind of funny to see that there's no actual quantities in here to portion control or to make it. So again, catchy name. Can it actually help you lose weight? And, you know, they talk about what the benefits, what the pros, what the cons are. CDC statement on how to lose weight safely, 1 to 2 pounds per week. Don't shoot for 5 pounds a week. 5 pounds a month is reasonable. They talk about structured weight loss programs. And then, you know, they talk about the benefits of oatmeal. So oatmeal, you know, one of those foods that's can be part of a health promoting fat loss diet. If you only have 1 half cup of oats, a cup of water, some lime juice, and some cinnamon. That's all you have. That is it. One serving of that every day, chances are you will lose all of this weight. Just a matter of the fact that most of that weight is going to come from water weight early on, and then it's going to be muscle mass and lean body mass with some body fat from there. You are going to be incredibly hungry, incredibly tired, unable to train in a productive manner, unable to recover from that training, unable to build any muscle mass whatsoever. Ozempic is 100% worse than any of the other crazy what I eat in a day stuff that we saw from those ladies. So, ladies, you're at least doing better than Ozempic. Funny name, though. Pretty creative. The people of TikTok do not lack creativity. All right, let's get into, to finish up our section on memes and things, let's go ahead and talk about crazy recipes. So, Instagram food porn space. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't really know why it exists. Even in my most dieted, hungriest, craving, craze phase, and this might just be me personally, but what goes for me should go for everyone else. Even in my hungriest, craving-ist phases of bodybuilding preps, these accounts never did it for me. So, Jake, go ahead and pull up the first post from cured.catering. This one came across my timeline. Now, time out. I'm a savory guy. I'm not a sweet guy. So when I look at their charcuterie boards, that charcuterie beef, that could go in my body. I would eat that. Some meats and cheeses, I like that. A ribeye, I like that. Some mashed potatoes, I can get down. Unlimited amount of sweet potatoes, love that. I think it's just maybe the sweet stuff that doesn't really do it for me. So Cured Catering appears to put together boards of very large magnitudes of charcuterie beef, yummy, and then just a fuck ton of candy. And I have the candy. These posts make my stomach hurt. So you got the strips, you got the gummy sharks, you got full candy bars in there, gummy eggs, more peach rings, you got the M&Ms, you got the Skittles, you got boxes of shit that I never even seen before, gummy worms, Twizzlers, Airheads, Twix, every color, Nerds, every other color under the rainbow, Kit Kat bars. If this was put in front of me, I would take 4 bites and then I would want to throw up. But I know people that could sit down and smash like half of this. The thought of that makes me want to vomit. And what I want to show you next makes me want to vomit way more than the Cosmic Brownie Pizza of last episode and way more than this board as a whole. So it's another post. This is actually the original post from Cured Catering that I saw, and it is their sweet and sour ice cream burrito. Guys, what the fuck? What the fuck are we talking about? Ice cream burrito, sweet and sour ice cream burrito? Just play the video. I'm not going to make a joke about the size of this person's hands or what their fingers look like and what their fingers are doing to the rings that they're trying to wear and probably haven't been able to get off for the last 4 months. I'm not going to make that joke, but you guys 100% can make that joke. So I won't say that these fingers scream type 2 diabetes. I'm not going to say that these are the fingers of someone who's going to suffer from cardiovascular disease later on in life. I don't say those things because I'm a nice guy. But you guys are uncultured swine. So you can make jokes about this person's, you know, BMI being significantly higher than their age, more than likely. You can make jokes about, you know, when was the last time this person saw the inside of a, the inside of their, you know, belly button, let alone the inside of a gym. You can make those jokes. I would never. Let's look at the ice cream burrito. So we're weaving like a waffle pattern of sour strips. Inside of the sour strips, looks like we're putting some gummy candy. We're scooping some ice cream on top of that, and we're going to roll it up. Number one, the ratio sucks here. There needs to be more ice cream and less gummy candy. Number two, this has got to be the most fucking impossible thing to eat ever. When you take a bite of it, you're not going, you're either going to bite hard enough that your teeth just get too exposed to the ice cream and it's just, you're going to have ice cream teeth, which is going to give you a brain freeze. Not enjoyable. Or you don't bite hard enough to get through the the like sour straw coating of the burrito, the sour straw tortilla, if you will. And all you're going to get is this cum shot of ice cream down your throat, and it's going to come out the back end. All of your ice cream's gone out of the back, down your throat. Now you just have a wet thing of strips. This is not well thought out. Not well thought out from Keurig Catering, but 148,000 people have commented on this. Or liked this. I'm sure there's thousands of comments too. Most of them are incredibly mean. They're making the jokes that I said that I would never make, but you guys are allowed to. Looking at your fingers, I ain't even surprised. You sound heavy. 40 red burritos. Do a neck reveal. Listen, I'm a fat ass, but what the fuck is this? This screams 300 plus. I don't make those jokes. I'm a professional. I wouldn't be rude like that to someone on the internet. I, again, only looking at the content. This is gross. It's poorly planned out. It's not going to work the way you think it will. Keurig Catering. On a very serious note, I'm sure you guys do quite a bit of business, but what you're selling is wrong. The candy boards are wrong. Stick to the charcuterie. And last but not least is one of the greatest nutrition hack thing sins that I've ever seen, which is chickpea Nutella. Guys, regular Nutella is fine. It's completely fine. Just eat that. This doesn't even look like Nutella. This looks like duty butt. Duty from a butt. And you look at the ingredients, and it's like a bunch of oils and dates and vegan chocolate chips and oil again and chickpeas and disgusting. Just eat regular Nutella. If you're plant-based, you're vegan, whatever, you can't have the regular ingredients for Nutella. There's other options that you can have. But stop making chickpea Nutella. That's unacceptable. It's not what we like to see. That's how we're going to end. That's a sin. You need to ask the Lord for forgiveness if you ever made chickpea Nutella. I'm a bodybuilder. I'm a retired bodybuilder. I've made gross stuff before. I've never been that low. Ain't never been that low. But speaking of bodybuilding, we're going to get into some serious content now, less of my insane ramblings. Jeremy DeSantis. We love Jeremy DeSantis. Jeremy DeSantis is a dude who doesn't believe in his content as much as he should. And one of his more recent posts, "Are You Ready for Classic Physique?" I think highlights some really good points. Classic physique is 100% for the younger generation of bodybuilders, the most popular division that exists today. I personally think that classic physique at the Olympia and the pro level is the only thing that's really keeping bodybuilding alive as a whole, meaning that the poster child, the face of classic physique, Mr. Bumstead himself, is the one that is largely floating the responsibilities of the bodybuilding industry as a whole. I think that without Chris Bumstead, we would have a serious, serious void in the bodybuilding industry. Bodybuilding needs its main star. It needs the guy. For the longest time, that was open bodybuilding. It was Arnold, it was Lee, it was Dorian, it was Ronnie, it was Jay, it was Phil, and then it was Noah. When Phil left, there was a void. And Chris Bumstead came in the classic division to fill that void. The open division still doesn't have a star in it. Chris is keeping it alive. So Jeremy does a really good job here. And Jake, you can just kind of cycle through the posts here. Talking about what actually inspired this golden era of bodybuilding, the aesthetics over overall size, X-frame symmetry. So a really good example of the X-frame from Mr. Miracle Bear himself here, what we're actually looking for, meaning wide shoulders, wide quads, narrow waist, divisional differences, all of that mentioned in the caption there. So a really good job. If you're a first-time competitor or you're thinking about switching divisions, you don't know if you want to be classic or open, really good way to identify kind of which division do I fit in the most, because the divisions in bodybuilding largely are going to be determined by your genetics. And your genetics are going to dictate your waist circumference. And if you look like SpongeBob SquarePants, but you still want to be the best bodybuilder ever, you need to find yourself a way over into the open division, because the shape requirement in classic physique is something that'll hold you back. Jeremy has talked a lot about this, a lot about the different divisions. He continues to put out really good content about finding the division that's right for you. If you don't follow him, make sure you do that. All of these posts are collaborated with the Gifted HQ account as well. So if you keep your eyes on the Gifted HQ account, you'll see those as well. Now, our mid-roll gifted ad and our single client highlight are lumped into one. Jake, I just want you to show some of the recent transformations that have been posted because I feel like we've missed this a lot. Cycle through them with their names, with their Instagram tags, so that we can see who these badass people actually are, what they're all about, and what they've been accomplishing. So that is our transformation challenge, people. Our recent transformations that I posted today, Brittany's transformation that I posted, some of the transformations that Anthony has posted, Carrie's transformation, post them all up. Let the people know where they can apply for coaching if they want to have a transformation like that. And with that said, we're going to get into the final piece of the episode here, which is our Reddit question. Our Reddit question of the day comes from Heated Wires. This is from Reddit Nutrition. And he talks about, is there much disadvantage to eating a large percentage of your daily fruits and vegetables in one sitting? Curious if there's any evidence regarding absorption of nutrients. I'm a bit of a camel eater. Rest in peace to the camels. What the fuck is a camel? Do camels eat all their vegetables in one sitting? What does that even mean? I think he means like camels store water in their hump so they don't have to drink water as much. They just drink a bunch all at once and then they store it. So this guy's got like humps on his back where he stores his fruits and his vegetables. Heated Wires, come over to my house. I want to rub your vegetable humps. Why would you call it a camel eater? That's weird. All right. Eats larger meals later on in the day. I think a lot of people do that, especially when you're trying to lose weight, trying to make better choices with foods, include more fruits and vegetables. I'm not perfect. I often find motivation at least once per day to really throw down some good foods. So it seems like this guy wants to consolidate a lot of his micronutrient intake into a single meal, take advantage of the motivation that he feels once a day. Fine. I don't have a problem with that. I have clients that are in the same boat, and I encourage them to usually start their day when motivation is at its highest with a very vegetable and fiber-rich meal. That's going to be high in micronutrients. Usually for digestive purposes, digestive strain, keeping the volume on the stomach low, I encourage them to do that in a smoothie format. It's kind of what I would recommend. That's like the TLDR here, what I would recommend for Heated Wires. I'm wondering, is my body going to struggle to absorb, make the most of things if I end up eating basically a whole meal just consisting of fruits and vegetables in comparison to me spacing it out more throughout the day? So I think a lot of this comes from, you know, the research and the common consensus on protein needing to be spaced out throughout the day. So, you know, one single serving of protein under delivers compared to spacing your protein out into, you know, anywhere from 2-ish on the low end. Three to five servings of protein seems to be where we, you know, maximize muscle protein synthesis across the course of a day. Is the difference huge from 2 to 4? No. From 3 to 5? No. From 5 to 7? No. From 1 to 4? Probably a difference there in terms of total daily muscle protein synthesis. Big enough for a general population. Want to lose some weight, want to build some muscle, client, probably not enough to notice. I would just steer people away from that from digestive issues, but that's a whole separate conversation. All right. The TLDR here is that you're not going to run into any absorption issues because there's no rate limiters on the absorption of vitamins, minerals, your micronutrients. Those hit the small intestine, pass through the lining, absorbed into the bloodstream, sent to where they're needed. So your digestion is probably going to be the biggest issue here. Cramming 2 to 3 servings of both fruits and vegetables, it's just a lot of food. And chances are you're going to get some serious and uncomfortable bloating there. But absorption shouldn't be an issue. They're not, vitamins and minerals aren't like protein in that there's, you know, a point where they get stopped out. Or there's a threshold point to where the body is no longer going to use that protein and recycle it into something else that can be used by the body. So yeah, the biggest issue is that you're essentially putting 25 to 35 grams of fiber into your stomach from high volume foods, fruits and vegetables, in a single serving. And from a digestive issue, it makes more sense to space these things throughout the day. You'll have, you know, less bloating. Your stomach won't feel uncomfortable. You'll be able to digest smoother. Bowel movements will be more regular. And you'll be able to maintain your satiety. Your hunger signals won't be crazy throughout the day. And now I have some questions for Heated Wires. Number one, what do the rest of your meals throughout the day look like? If you're having three servings of fruits, you're having like a banana, an apple, and an orange, and then you're also having a cup of broccoli, two cups of spinach, and we'll just say a cup of beets all in one meal.
That's a fucking huge meal.
That's a huge meal. What is the rest of your meals? Are you sitting down with like just a chicken breast? Okay, I'm just going to have a bowl of rice now. Okay, I'm just going to have a block of cheese. What do the rest of your meals look like? Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I've been steered by bodybuilding for so many years, but meals to me should be mixed. Fruit, a vegetable, carbohydrate source, a protein source, nice mixed meal. People obsess over gut health all the time. Best way to, you know, ensure that your gut health is on point, mixed meals throughout the day. Good way to probably nuke your gut health and do terrible things for your digestion. Eat 2 pounds of just fruits and vegetables in a single meal. So Heated Wires, from a nutrient absorption standpoint, is this a bad thing? No. Maybe you'll be quite all right. From a digestion standpoint, is this a good idea? It's a bad idea. Very bad idea. Definitely wouldn't recommend that. And if what you meant by a camel eater is that you are eating camels, a lot of people don't know this. Take the end of this episode here to go onto MyFitnessPal and look up or lose it, whatever your food tracking, maybe the Gifted Coaching app, your food tracking app of choice, and look up camel meat. It's actually very lean. It's a good source of protein. So if this individual is eating 3 to 5 servings of fruits and vegetables at one meal, and the rest of his meals are just camel meat, and that is what he's eating, he's probably in pretty good shape. Pretty good shape. Getting enough protein, getting your micronutrients, getting your carbohydrates from good sources. His digestion may be a little bit wonky, but Heated Wires probably got a sick physique, and he can say that he got it by eating camels. That's pretty hardcore. That wraps up our episode today. Thank you, as always, for watching, my GPP loyalists. We'll see you in the next episode. In the meantime, in between times, and please, always, from now, the rest of your life, until you're 6 feet deep, stay gifted. We love you.